hour of Whitley and Tausch begins now, live from Titletown and the Associated Bank branch. Come on in, make the switch to Associated Bank like Paul and I did many, many years ago. Jesse, we're negotiating a window, a Pella window, for you to go kick field goals. And I say field goals plural, I should say attempt field goals.
How many
are we giving him? Two?
What do you get? Two?
Do we start him?
Yeah, I think two's good.
Do we start him with the traditional old school extra point that was 19 yards and then work his way back? I don't think we
33.
Do whatever Pat McAfee does. How long are his field goals?
Yeah, 33 yards. 33, yeah, perfect. Does.
Yep. He was an NFL punter. Jesse,
he's got kids. He's pulling kids out of frat houses
in vans
to kick in front of like 30,000 people. So spare me the, oh, Jesse's an athlete. He said he could play for the Mallards at second base. He said he's one of the great pickleball players in the Sun Prairie community. So go kick a 33-yard field goal. Not that hard.
I'd like to clarify a couple of points there. I said I could play second base for the Mallards for one inning and we would be fine, and I'm right. And I also said I'm suitable enough to play pickleball with you and your squad that I could hold my own.
Yeah, and some of my squad is the best in Sun Prairie. So that's
like my
see point
for myself.
Let's get that on the schedule, please. Time now for our if there
Jesse
are prize
Olympics.
I was going to say if there are prize pick projections for you playing pickleball with Tausch's crew, I'd like to see those as well. Time now for our prize picks for the weekend.
Yes, sir. The prize picks of the week. We're going to look at some real projections from our friends courtesy of Prize Picks to see how we think the Packers and Texans will fare this weekend. And I'm not going to do some of the usual ones. Usually we go passing yards, rushing yards. We're going to do some fun categories that Prize Picks has.
Is McManus on there yet?
He is not yet on there. I knew you would ask, Tausch. McManus not yet listed. I am guessing that won't be up until officially Sunday when he's officially ruled as the Packers kicker, whenever that comes officially, whether it's today or later this weekend.
How is he not officially their kicker? They don't have another kicker.
I don't know.
Okay.
So first up, we have passing yard combo. C.J. Stroud plus Jordan Love. Between the two of them, more or less than 507.5 passing yards. So one could
less.
Go way more, one could go way less.
Less.
Okay, Tausch says less.
So that's how you
think
can
less
do that?
That's one of the categories.
Sure.
It's an official projection.
No, why can't you? That's the beauty of it. That's about 255 a game. Is that help me with the math, Jesse? Is that about
255 per person.
That's what we're looking at there, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to be – I don't see how this game – isn't going to be a close, like, tight battle. I think that's where this thing is headed. So, typically, to get big numbers, you need, especially from Jordan's standpoint, I'm not as well-versed on Stroudy and what Houston's doing.
Stroudy.
But for Jordan, the Viking game is his biggest stat line ever because they stunk and they had to throw it the whole time. That's not how Matt LaFleur and this offense wants to operate. So, you're not looking to have a 300-yard game. It's a tight game. You're going to continue to stay balanced. I think that's the road this is going down. I think they'll both probably be in that 230 range. And if somebody gets ahead, it'll be a little less and somebody more. So I'm going less.
I'll go less, too. What's next?
Josh Jacobs, more or less than 16 rush attempts. Ooh. Rush attempts for
more.
Josh Jacobs. He has done it in three of the last five games.
Well, it's because everybody was panicking. He had 32 carries, and you'd have thought that he was asked to walk the Appalachian Trail. It's like he's an NFL running back. He's getting the football because Jordan Love ain't in there. He's not getting 30 a game the rest of the season. He's a bell cow back. Give him the football, and everybody's panicking. Well, he can't do this. He's a bell cow. Let him eat. You got to get him lathered. And so, yeah, more. I want this to be a number 8 game. Get him the pill and let him work.
The Packers have played 6 games this season. He has carried the ball 16 times or more in 4 of them. The 2 games in which he didn't cross the 16-carry threshold, as Tausch mentioned, The Minnesota game, he only had 9 carries because they fell behind 28-0. And he had 14 carries in Tennessee. So I would think that the smart call would be more on that one, Jesse.
Next up, Romeo Doubs, more or less than 5.5 receiver targets.
Oh, boy.
So he has been targeted more than 5.5 times twice in the last 5 games he played, the most being 8 against the Vikings. But, of course, he was suspended for the Rams game, was targeted 4 times against the Cardinals last week. Tausch, what do you think?
Less. I don't feel great about this whole deal. I just don't.
I don't either.
I have not talked. I gave you my declarative statement.
I went
and spoke on it on Tuesday. Go back to Wisconsin On Demand. I'm not going to go down that road again. I don't feel great about this whole deal. I still don't, and I think it's going
to
be less.
I would like this to be more done than it is, but I don't think it'll be an issue publicly because we haven't been asking about it more, and I don't think we need to be. And I think whatever is bubbling beneath the surface will stay beneath the surface. But, again, I keep going back to this. The guy who stood up the most for Romeo Doubs was Christian Watson. And even Christian Watson said it's going to be weird for a while. So take that for what it's worth. 5.5 targets is a lot, especially given how much they are spreading the ball around like they did last week. The only one who had more targets than the 4 that Romeo and Christian Watson had, and that was with Wicks leaving the game with an injury, was Jaden Reed with 6. So I would take fewer on that one.
Last one for our prize picks of the week. You get to choose your own adventure here. Interceptions thrown. Jordan Love, 0.5, has the little ghoul face, which means it's an easy one.
What is it, a ghoul face?
Yeah, the little green or the goblin.
It's a goblin
one.
And a
goblin.
Yeah,
what
the goblin means it's an easy one.
A gremlin or a devil? What's the other one?
So those, I think it's goblins and ghouls. So the goblin, the goblin means it's easy for Jordan Love, 0.5. C.J. Stroud, 0.5 interceptions, more or less, has no faces next to it. So that's the medium one. Or Aaron Rodgers against the Steelers on Sunday Night Football, 0.5 interceptions with the ghoul, meaning that's a difficult one to get. Which one do you like, Tausch? Easy, medium, or hard interceptions thrown for Love, Stroud, or Rodgers?
I don't know what to make of Jordan. I don't know. He's kind of going through it. He's trying to find himself as far as how much risk tolerance he has. I think LaFleur has talked to, I think, is trying to rein him back in a little bit. And as a, you know, teenager, you're not going to always listen. You're going to have to learn on your own. You're going to have to make the mistakes. So if I had to, I'd take his more. But the best, the one I feel most comfortable with, the green and gold is a takeaway operating machine. Xavier McKinney is going to be hungry. He didn't get fed last week. You got to feed him. Evan Williams, he's going to be hungry. Jair's probably starving. Stroud's going to throw a pick. It's going to be one of those cats. I feel really good about that one.
C.J. Stroud enters this game. Tausch, you want to guess how many interceptions he has on the season?
3.
He has 4, so close. 4 through 6 games. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go with the Aaron Rodgers one.
Jordan had 3 in 1 game, didn't he?
He did indeed.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Aaron Rodgers one. I do think that having Devontae there, the Jets are going to start to take off.
Nice.
And things are going to get interesting out there. But all he's got to do is throw one, and he's thrown more than he normally does. All it takes is a Bo Melton slippage. And that's what leads to those types of interceptions, or maybe Mike Williams apparently not running the right route. So I'll take the Rodgers one. Does that mean
Mike Williams ain't playing this week?
I don't think he is. He's still recovering from his injuries from being thrown under the bus.
I don't know. Devontae's hammy was really bad when he was in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I hear it's healed, like Reggie White's.
Miraculous.
The Lord has healed him.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
Kudos
indeed.
To Devontae.
Not as interesting, though, as your prize picks and the success or lack thereof you've had of late.
Going with Stroud pick, and I'm going to, because Jesse asked, I think Old Boy's going to have more if and when Prize Picks puts that out. Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Over 10 million users. Prize Picks, the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. All you do, pick more or less. 2 to 6 player stat projections. Watch the winnings roll in. I like to go with 3. Sometimes I dabble with 4. And if you get 4 correct, you can win up to 100 times your money. Prize Picks, the best way to win real money this football season. Make your picks in less than 60 seconds. Turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. And if you sign up today, you get $50 instantly. All you got to do is play a $5 lineup. Don't even need to win. You still get that $50 bonus. Download the app today. Use that code WI to get that $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Use code WI to get the $50 instantly. Prize Picks. Run
your
game.
Well, that's an interesting approach there.
Yeah, it was new.
All right. So I was on this morning with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, as I am every Friday and a couple of other times during the week. It was Alex Strofe and Chewy today. And our buddy Josh DiMaggio, who cleaned up the audio of this conversation coming up next. I want to be clear. This was not some sort of pomp and circumstance. Oh, my God, Jason talked to the quarterback one-on-one. This is largely standard operating procedure. But I thought, A, the fact that I looked stupid at the beginning of the interview, and B, that it was something that was different than what other people had, it would be worth bringing to our show today. So we don't need to trumpet it as some sort of big exclusive. It was two guys talking in the locker room. And I'm lucky that Jordan and I have forged a good relationship, that he does this kind of thing for me. I appreciate his time. I hope you'll enjoy this. We're going to play it while Jesse goes and tries to kick a field goal here at Titletown.
Wow.
And then he will come back.
What a time.
We'll have an update and hopefully video as well.
Molly B's up there. Molly B's up there with you, right?
Yes.
She's gonna get
downtown.
Yeah,
Molly Brown is
really
here. Yes,
good about that.
She will not be holding for him either. We've got the little holder
thing
for him. So I think that's all he needs to kick a 19-yarder.
I think
wide
height.
Left.
I think height. He's gonna have the distance. I'm worried about his lift. I think his lift is going to be the trouble.
How many camera angles do you think we're going to need for this? Like, do we need to enlist other folks that are hanging out in Titletown today to also use their phones so we can, like, splice it all together? Or you think just one is
plenty? Feel like are one you going to go out and try to kick, too? You're an athlete. Your kids play soccer. Are you going to go try?
I don't have time to go try today. I'm hosting a radio show and a Chalk Talk, so maybe some other time. But, yes, I've kicked field goals here before. I'm not Greg Joseph, but I can get some lift.
What's your range? What's your range, Jason?
Not very far.
Got to get the ball to the 10, the 12.
I would say my range is what did Money Matt Davenport, your old roommate, what was his line? I'm pretty much money from 50 in, or what did he say? Back in the day?
No, he was not money. I think he said 45 and in.
Okay, I'm pretty much money from like 23 and in. And then it gets a little shakier after that. So we'll see how Jesse does. We'll hear from Jordan Love next. It's Wilde and Tausch. All right, Jesse Nelson is somewhere on the Titletown football field, the field turf. They've got like 100 yards, Tausch. I don't know if he's going to run the 40 like you told him to also. That would be a bonus content. But he's getting ready to kick his field goals. He could be kicking them right now as we speak. But I do want to play this. Now, again, this is not I'm not tempering expectations here. That's not what I'm trying to do. I just don't want this to seem like a bigger deal than it was. It was a really interesting conversation. And I also learned that younger people have no idea what paint by numbers is. Do we not make those anymore? Are those not produced for – do we not do that?
As our resident young person here, I know color by numbers. I don't think I've seen paint by numbers before.
But the same concept, right? Riley, explain your understanding of paint by numbers.
So my understanding – same – like you have an outline of an image and it's kind of blocked off with – a number in each block. So like there's tons of ones in this color and that's like brown. There's a bunch of twos, that's green.
Yes.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And then you color it in and it makes a nice picture.
Okay. Well, I feel better that someone...
Just wait a second. Do we really feel like nobody understands paint? Like, what else would paint by numbers be?
Well, I don't know, but Jordan Love had no idea what I was talking about. And that's how we got the interview started. So I was able to teach him what paint by numbers is here because I called him an artist. That's how we started. You'll hear it right now. Here is that discussion in the Packers locker room.
Holy flawed concept.
Paint by numbers?
Yeah, paint by numbers. You're too young. There used to be these things where if it was number one, you would paint orange in all the number one spots, and then two, it was purple or whatever. So it was more kind of just do what is called or do what is asked. And I'm just wondering if you're going through the maturation process of the franchise quarterback developing into one of the greats in the league to push the limits, to push the envelope, to try some things that maybe last year you weren't going to try, and that's how sometimes that's risky, sometimes it's not, but for me, I kind of view it as part of the growth of Aaron becoming Aaron and Favre becoming Favre. Are you doing that? Is this a completely flawed concept? Because if it is, we can stop.
Well, I think you're right on. I mean, I think that's a lot of what playing the quarterback position is. I mean, early on, you're trying to, you're trying to make the best decision. You're always trying to make the best decision, read the play out. But I mean, I think just with every rep, with learning and seeing what, you know, different looks might be and, just obviously throughout the course of the game, you might see a look and something didn't work and now you might try a different way of throwing that same play. So there's just so many things that come into it. But I think always at the quarterback position, you got to be a playmaker. You know, things are not going to be perfect. Plays go off schedule. And I think you do have to be, kind of like you said, an artist and kind of make things come to life that, you know, will kind of separate you from other quarterbacks that might not be able to make those plays. So I definitely consider myself a playmaker, and I'm always trying to push that envelope, but just trying to be smart with it as well.
So, like, Matt giving you more autonomy to change things at the line or whatever else, like, is this another piece of growing into what you think you will eventually be?
Yeah, I think that comes with just that relationship, Matt trusting me to go out there and just understand the offense as well. Like, if we have a play call that isn't a great look, check something different. You know, if there's having that freedom to go up there and call play at the line of scrimmage based off what I'm seeing, you know, that's all stuff that year one I'm not able to do because I just don't have that understanding of the offense of what plays are good for certain things and you know, just having that experience in those reps to understand that. But I think that just comes with the reps.
So you don't get that kind of right if you don't play really well like you did in the second half of last season, though, right? I mean, if there's not that trust and there's not that production, then it's not, hey, just read it out the way we want you to read it out. So when Matt and you talk about stuff, is he supportive of the idea of you maybe doing some things that are not necessarily the black and white design?
Yeah, I think Matt, I mean, as a play caller, as a head coach, like, he understands that. He understands, you know, the way I play the position. He obviously saw Aaron play at such a high level and understands that. But, you know, Matt calls plays. He likes it for, you know, he's calling a play for a certain look. And I think that's just that trust that he has with me. Obviously, like I said, a little bit plays into our relationship and him, you know, seeing me make certain plays. And, you know, you build that trust and that growth throughout the year. But, yeah, I think, you know, if he doesn't trust that I understand the system and can get us in the right play, he wouldn't put that on my plate. So it's all him knowing what I can handle, what I can take out there on the field, and you know, the mental capacity I'm able to understand what the best play is, things like that. But if I didn't have that, if he didn't trust me, it wouldn't happen.
All right, last thing. So is there a play in the last couple of weeks that you've made that maybe was painting outside the lines a little bit? Like the fourth down throw, they were asking me about how that was graded. That was an unbelievable throw. Like, at the window, like, I know the window to to Watson in Detroit wasn't supposed to be as tiny when he fit that one in last year. Mm-hmm. But this was, I mean, that's how the defense was played. And you got it. Like, is there an example or two that comes to mind where you kind of maybe painted outside the lines a little bit on a play?
I mean, I think the one to Kusha right there is reading the conflict, you know, staying true to my reads and just having to make a good play right there. I think, you know, painting outside the lines would be like the touchdown to Romeo, the all-out one. Whereas, you know, my rookie year, or even like my first start in Kansas City, you know, I might throw the ball away, take a sack, just not know what answer to get to versus that all-out, you know, panic with a guy unblocked in your face. So just having that trust that Romeo's going to win, you know, it's all-out. These guys usually don't get their eyes back and all-out. They're trying to stay on their man. So just trust him, go up there and make a play. I think that's a play that I might not have made before, and I've been through, had more reps going out against all that. Understanding this might work.
Thanks for stopping. I appreciate you.
So, Tausch, take me back to the days when I would annoy you in the locker room and grab you one-on-one for questions that I didn't want to ask in the group. Was it that loud in there, or am I being old man yelling at the cloud? That there, it is loud in that locker room, right?
I was just thinking that is such a good sign. I miss that. I love that part of it. The yelling at Marco about, you know, a backgammon move, or if I'm, you know, playing cribbage or what. Because I think in today's day and age with Snapchat and cell phones, you get the picture that guys are just sitting there and scrolling through their phone. The fact that there's that much noise and competing, I don't even know what's in the locker room now. It's a whole new deal. I don't know what guys are doing. I was just thinking, that's the stuff I miss.
Yeah.
That was awesome. The Jordan Love conversation was great. I'm glad you guys have a great relationship. I love that you brought that to the show. Kudos to you. But most of the time,
the energy.
As I was listening, I was thinking, I like that. I like how loud that is, because that's an engaged football team that likes each other. I thought that was awesome.
So
and yes, it was that, actually probably a lot louder.
That was one of the things that I thought about as I listened back to it before Joshy helped clean it up. And thanks again to Josh DiMaggio for at least reducing. I mean, that is a technologically reduced amount of background noise. So imagine how loud it was then in real time. But they are really engaged. And Chewy had asked me this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy what I thought the vibe was. And for me, it was not. You know, we're only in there 45 minutes a day. And so I don't want to ever try and pretend like the time that we're in there as reporters is necessarily indicative of what the vibe is with the team.
You know it's not.
I know it's not. But I do think that seeing those guys, because during this team, this young team, there is a version of them that, because they're not a bunch of savvy veterans, they kind of behave the same as they would if we weren't in there. And so they're playing games. There's ping pong going on. These guys at one end of the locker room that were making most of the noise do this pantomiming game where one guy makes a move one direct up, down, left, or right, and the other guy that he's going against has to do anything but the same direction with the move that he makes.
That's an eighth grade. That's eighth grade stuff. My kid does that.
And so they play that every day. And I don't think I'd be very good at it. But there is a distinctive energy in their locker room that I think, you just said it, it's an eighth grade thing. Young guys doing something like that. I don't picture you and Cliffy playing that game late in your careers. And so I think they have a really good energy.
No, we played Ninja. I love Ninja.
Is that what it's called? It's called Ninja?
No, Ninja's a different game. No,
this is different. This is different. Ninja was great. You could make one move, and if you swipe the hand or hit someone, you would be knocked out. We used to do that all the time.
All right. Well, speaking of being knocked out, Jesse Nelson is back from the football field. We will have a live post-game report on how his kicking
went. Wait a second. Are you not going to delve into it? You just talked to the starting blanking quarterback for the G&G, and we're sitting there talking about pantomiming?
and Ninja.
What did you take from what you got? I'm assuming it's a sad deal. Like you got a sad deal coming here, right?
Yeah, not for this Sunday because, you know, I've got that Evan Williams story that you're not going to read that's going to be ready. Talk to Dan Lanning about him.
True.
We're excited about that. But, look, the bottom line is that I think our theory, because it was us that were – this story idea sprung from our conversation about him and some of the risks he's taking, maybe some of the mistakes he's made. He is testing boundaries. He is like an eighth grader, for example, who is with his parents, right? What can I get away with? What can I not? I think he is doing that as a quarterback, and I do believe, like I said in my conversation with Jordan, that is part of growth. If you just always do exactly what the play call is for, you're that's great. But yes,
Boring. Exactly.
So I love that he's doing it. It's had mixed results. Obviously, the pick that he throws against Minnesota to Wicks against the all-out blitz, not so good. The into triple coverage to Jaden Reed in L.A., great outcome, zero decision from his grade sheet. The touchdown to Dobbs, the second touchdown, probably shouldn't throw it. But again, that's him testing some boundaries, and I think it ends up being a growth moment for him. And we'll see what other types of, you know, creative, his signature on the painting he can do as he moves forward in his growth as a franchise quarterback.
Did you ask him who his favorite artist is? Is it Da Vinci? You know, is it Rembrandt? Is it Homer?
He seems like a Michelangelo guy, but I'll have to ask. You know, he did get engaged to Ronica in Europe, so I'm sure they checked out some museums, etc. So I'll have to circle back with him when I see him today. I'll have to tell him that the only question that was left from our back and forth from Tausch was, who's your favorite artist? You know who my favorite bank is, and that's Associated Bank. They have been a wonderful partner of ours from the very beginning. We are here at their beautiful facility at Titletown. Heidi's here. Laura Rose is here. The whole team is here. We're going to have Andrew Quarles joining us next. Jesse's trying to pump up the crowd because he knows that people are going to be critical of his kicking, I'm guessing, in the moments that follow on the program here. But they have been a great partner of ours, and we love every opportunity we have to do stuff with them, including a day like today. Go to AssociatedBank.com. There you can find out more about Packers checking, about Badgers checking, about Brewers checking, about early pay, where you can get access to your direct deposit money up to 2 days early, and, of course, all about the great customer service that they have here. They have the awards to prove it. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. More Wilde and Tausch live from Titletown next. Stick around. Before we get to our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week, I'm being told that the video of the lost Zendejas brother, Jesse Zendejas.
More of a Del Greco, honestly.
It doesn't sound like you're actually, a Del. I'm actually, what I'm hearing,
I'm more of a Narvison from what I can tell.
Yeah, you're more of a Chester Markholl. All right, so we have the video of this.
Yeah.
Jesse, you seem disappointed. I don't want to ruin the surprise, but you don't seem all that enthusiastic.
It does sense that way. It does feel that way.
We took multiple attempts at the field goal.
And just to be clear, your first instinct was to blame that I overinflated the ball.
The ball was a little overinflated. That is for sure a factor that played into it. It was like kicking a rock. Like when someone says, go kick rocks.
Okay.
Felt a lot like what we were doing on a cold, blustery October fall afternoon in Titletown.
You know what you want from your kicker, though? You want someone who's going to make excuses.
The leaves
That's what you're looking for. No accountability. Correct.
The leaves are rustling quite a bit outside. Beautiful here in Titletown with the leaves changing colors. Very nice foliage. But wind, certainly, we kicked into the wind as opposed to
there's two goalposts going down to the other end of the field.
There was some other dude at that one, so he was kicking. I didn't want to go by that guy. He looked like it might have been
was it Braden Narvis?
It might have been. Or Hale. It might have been one of those guys.
Having seen the video, these excuses make it so much better. I'm really looking forward to everyone seeing.
All right. So if you're watching on YouTube or on Twitter, you'll get to see it right now. We've got it. If you are listening on terrestrial radio or on the audio stream, you will be able to go to our social media channels. Molly Brown of Jim, Matt, and Molly will be getting that posted for us. But here, without further ado, Jesse Narvison at Titletown.
All right. Riley's role in the film. He's got my commentary ahead of it, but we said to play it on.
You're talking here.
So this is – I moved it up to 19. So we missed badly from 33. We'll do the extended cut eventually.
Oh, you tried 33 first?
33 first went very poorly.
Okay.
So then we moved it up to 19. So I'm explaining. Yep. You know, Lance Davis from ESPN Milwaukee.
Great videography here.
Yep, it's
pretty good so far. Does look like there's some wind. Field goal post, the little streamers, definitely some wind. Oh my God!
did you kick your shoe off?
The shoe went further than the football.
The shoe left the foot, and we hit a slow dribbler to Lance in the corner of the end zone. There was a nice family that was kicking or playing football next to us on the left side of the screen as you saw it there. The first kick hit the dad, I believe, who was throwing. He was playing quarterback.
Did we get video of that?
Yes, we have that one too. The shoe leaving the foot was a real moment of pain. Only to be
Jesse, matched. I felt like the lift was going to be your problem. I honestly, if I was going to predict what your field goal kicking would look like, it literally was that without the shoe falling off. That is what I thought was going to happen.
The real tough part was there was this nice, very polite kid who was probably, 11 years old, 10 years old, came up after we were done kicking and embarrassing ourselves, and he goes, "Hey, can I use your tee?" And he kicked one, and he missed also, for the record, so he wasn't any better. But he did.
But he's 11!
But he did doink it off the front goalpost, so it got much closer.
Oh, so he at least got to the crossbar.
He got the lift, the much-needed lift that you guys were trying to hype me up for that I missed out on. So.
All right, well,
a lot of respect for the kickers. A lot of respect for Narvi and
Bottom line is, you are what Teddy Roosevelt talked about. You went into the arena. All of us can sit here and talk about but you jumped into the lion's den. You failed miserably, but at least you went in there, and I respect that.
Molly Brown at 7 months pregnant or whatever she is kicked also, which I don't know if that was a good idea or not.
What happened to Molly?
Well, she got just as close as I did, so that makes me feel pretty good. Between the 11-year-old kid who doinked it much closer, Molly, who was 7 months pregnant, was equally as close, and me kicking off the shoe.
And Jesse, who's lost 40 pounds in the last 2 months, couldn't do better.
Not a good start for the Jesse
Olympics. You're kicking with a new body. You're kicking with a new body. You'll grow into that new skinny body, and you'll be better next time.
I agree with Ian and East Troy on the text line. A little Inflategate shenanigans going on from Wildy setting me up for failure.
I thought this would help you, actually.
If it was inflated more, it should be better lift.
One would think, wouldn't you then? All right, time now for our Steinhoffels Sleepers of the Week, presented by Steinhoffels, which is celebrating its 90th anniversary with a 4-day sale that is going on right now. You get a free Stanley tumbler. I know the girls love those for some reason. That's what everybody wants these days, are the Stanley tumblers. And you get a $200 MasterCard gift card with your qualifying purchase. Plus, you can make your room even more affordable with Steinhoffel's 18-month financing. Steinhoffel's has something for everyone. The 4-day sale ends on Sunday, so shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Time now for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Don't sleep,
you gotta stay up. Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilby and Tausch.
All right, Tausch, we still have to get to trivia as well, and I see your former teammate Andrew Quarles has arrived too. So I know we're excited to talk to him for a little while. I don't know how excited he is to talk to me, but we're excited to talk to him. Who's your sleeper of the week?
Rashawn Gary. I'm kind of done with this conversation. He is a good pass rusher. He has not gotten off to the start we all hoped. He's going to have a day. And for all the Will Anderson talk, and you compare and contrast quarterbacks and rush ends and tight ends and wideouts, all great. Rashawn Gary's going to come out of this game and saying, that's what I'm – because if you look at last week, he didn't have the monster stat line. His play was a lot better, much more disruptive. He at least got in there and he did some things.
Sure.
I think he's going to eat. I think he has a sack. I think he might even strack something. He's going to have a day. Rashawn Gary is my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week.
When you select a guy with a $96 million contract and a former first-round pick, what exactly does he have to do on your grading scale than to win the sleeper of the week? At least two sacks in the game?
No. What has he done so far? He's done nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Jordan Love, my sleeper of the week. Jesse, who are you taking?
I mean, after that, I have to take Brandon McManus.
Well, now that you know how hard his job
is. It's a very difficult job, as I have learned on the job training today. Brandon McManus is my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week with a potential game winner and rejoicing in jubilation on Sunday at Lambeau Field.
I like that. I would really like to take an offensive lineman, given how important their work will be. But in honor of Andrew Corliss, one of the unsung heroes of that 2010 team, stepping in and being such a key person for them after the JerMichael Finley injury, I'm going to take a guy who's doing the same thing for the second straight week. I'm going to take Ben Sims, who is stepping into the role of Luke Musgrave with Luke Musgrave injured. Tucker Kraft, the clear-cut number one tight end, but Ben Sims, again, playing a key role in this offense now. I will take Ben Sims as opposed to a former first-round pick with a $96 million contract.
Just because you go eat Chipotle burritos with him doesn't mean you can keep going. But you won fair and square last week. I thought the analytics firm did a great job, and we'll see. I just hope that they continue to look at what has been the production, and is it more – that is what Jesse's parameters were, and is it more and better than what we expect? Right now, the expectation game for Rashawn Gary is very
low. You're already politicking for how you're going to win this. You're already trying to influence the jury at the 565 analytics firm.
I'm stating facts, Jason. That's all I'm doing.
I'm also irritated with the analytics firm, by the way, and you two for not sharing my pick last week and me being disqualified.
All right, we need to get to trivia as much as Jesse would like to come.
For the record, it was on the video stream. Keyshawn Nixon was listed in the description of the video stream.
You did a great job last week filling in for me while I was at my cousin's wedding.
Time now for trivia. Yes,
sleeper was cut after.
Yeah, I picked the ultimate sleeper. That's got to be a record of some kind.
No, Jason actually had one that was cut before the game started.
Ah, shoot. Well, okay.
I did, yes. That's the all-time.
That will always be the benchmark for that.
All right, we need to play trivia. Jesse, what's today's category, and what caller would you like?
Don't mess with Texans, today's category.
Clever.
Questions
clever.
About the Houston Texans franchise, since we don't see them that often.
All right. The Houston Texans are 5-1. They've won five games this season, so we will take caller 5. Caller 5, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll play trivia next, live from Titletown at the Associated Bank branch. It's Wilde and Tausch. Time now for trivia, although I was having to sort through about 40 texts. Are you getting positive feedback?
No.
I feel like Josh, of all people, is trying to support you and tell you that I believe in you, which is a very bizarre world response.
Shout out to my brother-in-law, Nick, who has now put it in the family Snapchat group and the Up North group, and that means that's making the rounds. So, yeah, it's hitting all the pertinent people. Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations on
just
your...
Just for the record, Jason, who would give you... Who would say that was good? Like, whoever says that is lying to you. You don't want
Josh
those people.
Josh
you want
is trying to be supportive. And I respect the fact that he's trying to be supportive of Jesse's pretty weak effort on his field goal attempt. All right, let's get
there was effort.
Let's get
the
to
man
trivia.
In the theater. Teddy Roosevelt to Jesse, though. I respect that. You Roosevelt.
That was Tom Brady. All right, let's play trivia. Our contestant, let's welcome him in. It's John in Verona. John, good morning. How are you?
Not too bad. Good morning, fellas.
All right. Tausch has decided to sit out trivia, so I've got it all under control. Here we go. Question number one is this in the category of don't mess with Texans. Which of these players was the first ever drafted by the Houston Texans expansion franchise ahead of its inaugural season of 2002? Coached by Dom Capers. Was it Austin Carr, David Carr, or Dude, Where's My Car?
Good one.
David
Good
Carr.
One.
David Carr.
It was David Carr.
His brother's
you are one.
Riley,
for one.
You son of a gun. You had the best question of the week so far. That was well done, Riley.
That was Jesse Nelson's
great job,
question.
Riley.
But thank you.
How good is Riley, by the way, that he's honest enough to admit that it's not his question?
Yeah, that was Jesse, that was well done. Much like better than your kick.
I'd like to see Riley kick a field goal, huh?
I would gladly kick a field goal. I'd do a 33-yard field goal.
Well, I did that too. It was worse.
Okay.
You didn't kick a 33-yarder. You kicked a 6-yarder just like you did from 19 yards. Yeah. All right, question two, John, is this. Which of these opponents is the only team the Houston Texans have defeated twice in the postseason? Two playoff wins for the Texans over which of these franchises? The Kansas City Chiefs, the Cincinnati Bengals, or the Baltimore Ravens?
Huh.
I think it's B, Cincinnati Bengals.
You are correct again. 2 for 2. All right, question three is this. Which of these former Wisconsin Badgers running backs has not played for the Houston Texans? So two of these three has. Which one has not? Is it Ron Dayne, Corey Clement, or Dare Agumbawale?
Corey Clement.
Wow. John, on point. 3 for 3. Is he the first one this week to go 3 for 3?
Or Jack do we have Rabbit one? Mama, okay. I believe, went 3 for 3.
All right,
well.
So, yeah. John, you've got 4 entries into the drawing, which we're going to do a little bit later in the show. And an ESPN Wisconsin prize pack will be up for grabs with that. Thanks for playing, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Love you guys. Have a good day. Go back.
All right, that is Wildy and Tausch Trivia. Tausch, before we get joined by Andrew Quarles here at the Titletown Associated Bank branch. Tell us a little bit about Fortrea.
Well, if you're looking to put some more money into a bank account, you need a little more cash, Fortrea has you covered. Healthy, overweight adults, ages 18 to 65, BMI 30 to 40. Study, 3 stays totaling 7 nights with 12 follow-ups, $14,148 for your time and participation. Refer a friend, another $350. Another study, healthy adults ages 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32, 1 stay, 14 nights, 11 follow-ups, $13,006 in your pocket. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
We'll kick off the 11 o'clock hour late, as is often the case, but next in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.